We're joined now by Dave Quist. Dave is the Executive Director of the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Brian. How are you today?
I'm just great, and welcome to the show.
Good to have you with us.
Let me ask you this. From your point of view, and we should be clear, you come from a traditionalist viewpoint when it comes to social issues.
Mm-hmm.
What in your mind will be the most significant social issue that Canadians are going to be dealing with this new year?
Boy, that's an interesting question, because I think there are a number of different things that are on the horizon right now. You just referred to several of them. Another one is the full-day kindergarten program that's poking its head up here in the province of Ontario right now. Perhaps the overriding umbrella with a number of those issues is family choice and parental choice. And when we have things like full-day kindergarten, which is good for some families, I certainly acknowledge that, but it limits other families' choices. When we have issues that are affecting demographics, we have limited choices. When we have high taxation that impacts moms and dads, that limits their choices on what they can do that they think is in their best interest, their family's best interest, their kids' best interest. So the biggest thing that I think is out there right now is how parents can have and be able to make the best choices for their family.
And do you get the sense that the choice, when it comes to parenting, we're losing choice? We no longer have the choice that our parents had in making the decisions that are right for our children.
I think that's very true. The state has no business in my family, to be quite honest. I will make the best decisions. My wife and I will make the best decisions for my children. My children are adult children now, so you know, I'm somewhat past that, but they will have to deal with that with their kids if and when I ever have grandchildren. When the impact is such that the state interferes or limits what my role as a dad or as a parent is, then I think that's something that we should need to be very concerned about. Every child is different. You know, one of the bills that's up before the Senate right now in Ottawa is a bill that would eliminate the opportunity for parents to spank their children.
It would criminalize it.
Right. You're absolutely right. And this is something that's actually been before the Supreme Court of Canada a number of years ago. And yet there is a senator that's brought this back now for the second time that would say it's illegal. You would be a criminal if you spanked your child. Now, I'm not saying that every child should be spanked and at every time something goes wrong in the home that a child should be spanked. That's not the case at all. And let me be really clear that there's a very big difference between a spanking and child abuse. A spanking is done in love and with as a disciplinary thing. It's an educational tool. It's not leaving marks. It's not beating a child, things like that. Leaving marks and beating a child, that's incorrect. That's wrong, and it's child abuse, and we should prosecute that to the full extent of the law. But when the state proposes, or one member of the state proposes to make that illegal, that concerns me a great deal. There are a lot of parents out there that would be criminals right now because of this law if it was enacted at some point in the past. And that's something we should be very concerned about.
You know, Dave, one quote from the senator that troubled me when this reared its head again was something to the effect that children are not the property of the parent.
Mm-hmm.
I know that the word property doesn't sound very good with respect to talking about people, but I don't know. I think when you're dealing with young children, if the child is not the property of the parent, and if you're, of course, if you have a religious belief, and if you're, for example, Christian, you believe that the parent, in fact, has ownership of the child because ownership has been given to him through proxy by God.
Mm-hmm.
That really troubled me. I thought, well, you know, what are we going to do? Are we going to say that this 3-year-old child is not our property, that it's a property, he's the property of the state? He's certainly not capable of living and making decisions as an individual, as a senator seemed to be suggesting.
Indeed, you're quite correct in what you said there. And I think that's why we have, although it varies a little bit from province to province, we have what we call minority age and majority age. And presumably at majority age is at an age when a child is no longer a baby. They can make their own decisions. They've reached a level of maturity to make decisions on voting or drinking or driving and how to have a job and what job they want to have or education they want to follow up and things like that. probably the role of the parent is to get them ready for that. You know, there was the movie a few years ago about, I forgot the correct name, but kids that didn't launch, you know, the kids that were still adults that were living in the parent's home that were living as if they were children in the home almost. And, you know, really, I think our job as a parent is to prepare and get our children ready to be adults, to face the world out there. You know, she's also made a comment about comparing children to animals, and it's illegal to beat an animal, therefore it should be illegal to beat a child. Well, beating a child, I would agree with. We shouldn't be beating our children. That's incorrect and wrong. However, our children are also not animals. They're not a puppy. They're not a kitten. And to sort of make that parallel escapes my logic altogether. We really, as adults, are blessed by having children, in my opinion. And, you know, being a parent is not the easiest job in the world, as I'm sure.
It's the most difficult job in the world, let's be honest.
There are some wonderful, joyous times, and there are some difficult times. And that can happen at every age and stage of children growing up. And but our job as a parent is to get them ready to face the world, to be their own adult, and not be living under mom and dad's thumb all the time. But at the same time, you know, that little 2-year-old or 1-year-old isn't ready to face the world by themselves, and we need to take responsibility to raise them up appropriately.
It seems to me too, Dave, that if we lose parental ownership, and if we the state, in fact, is dictating to us how we're going to raise our children, then we lose the ability to withdraw our children from some of the things that the state says is okay.
Mm-hmm.
We can't stand up and say, I'm sorry, but I want to homeschool my children because I don't believe that the public school system is meeting my needs.
Right.
Just as one example, we lose that ability.
That's actually a good example, and it's one that has been under pressure in many different parts of the world. Actually, right now it's illegal in Germany to homeschool your children. The state has put that law into place. And in fact, there's a family that left Germany that immigrated to Canada for that very reason. There's probably others as well, but I know of one case for certain. The province of Quebec right now has put some strong restrictions around homeschooling as well, and in fact have said that if you're going to be educated in this province, regardless of whether you're going to private school or a Christian school or a Catholic school or public school, you're going to take what's called an ethics course, which talks about a number of different things of different faiths and religions around the world and other issues around that. And as private schools said, no, parents are sending their child to this school because we have this religious tenet as a foundation of our educational process. And the province has said, sorry, but that doesn't matter anymore. So I think we as parents need to be very concerned about that when the state interferes and makes laws that says what you can and cannot do with your children. You know, there was Trudeau's famous line many years ago of the state has no business in the bedrooms of the nation. Well, we see the state coming in at various different levels still when it's talking about how we raise our children. Several years ago, when the laws changed that made same-sex marriage legal, we actually changed the definition of parent at that same time. It was one of those clauses that sort of came in the back door at that same time as a part of the bill. That up until that point, it was you were a natural parent. In other words, you were a mom or a dad that a sperm or an egg participant in that biological process. The law was changed now so that it's a legal parent. In other words, the state can decide whether you are a parent or not. And that concerns me a great deal. I don't think we've seen the end of that issue, and we won't for several years now. I think that will still come up with various different issues with adoption and in vitro fertilization and other aspects of raising children.
It opens the door to all kinds of shenanigans with respect to artificial birth, reproductive technologies.
Mm-hmm.
Also opens the door, of course, for same-sex couples to adopt or to have surrogate children and so
mm-hmm.
on.
And that is a part of the landscape right now here in Canada. Here in the province of Ontario, it was just over 2 years ago right now that what was called the three-parent case came into be, that a lesbian couple had raised a child. They wanted to make both of themselves as on the birth certificate for the child, as well as the sperm donor, who was a friend of the couple. And so what they did is they actually went through the court process, and legally here in the province of Ontario, you can have three names on the birth certificate. expanding that out and adding surrogate and so on, we could have as many as 5 names on a birth certificate. That's not legal yet, but I see that challenge coming somewhere down the road and changing the whole role of what parents are actually going to play a role in our children's upbringing.
So as we see these things happening then, when someone says, you know what, marriage and the family, the nuclear family is simply obsolete.
We hear that more often than I'd certainly like to hear. And in fact, you know, as you read in the intro, and part of our research has worked around the differences between marriage and cohabiting couples. And I know they're going to have some listeners out there that are living common law, and they're going to say, well, no, our relationship is fine. And that's great. There certainly are good examples out there. But when we look at the aggregate, when we look at across the big numbers that we get from Stats Canada, in fact, marriage has all the benefits and cohabitation doesn't, simply put as that. If you want a stronger marriage, or if you want a stronger relationship, get married. If you want a better sex life, be married. If you want to have children that by and large doing better in school, that have a better outlook on life, have fewer challenges in terms of emotional difficulties, less likely to be involved in drug or alcohol.
Dave, how do you account for the fact, and you hear this quite often, people live together for a while. Mm-hmm. As soon as they decide to get married, then things fall apart.
Well, in fact, one of the problems is living together, we say we're going to live together and just, you know, give this a trial before we get married. It's not actually a trial marriage. It's more like a trial divorce. And so everything is built around a relationship that could break off at any particular time. Oftentimes what will happen is they'll get married. They haven't dealt with how real communication takes place. They haven't secured what their relationship is really built on. And in fact, those people that live together prior to marriage are 50% more likely to break up than couples that don't live together before they're married. It has all to do with the relationship and the foundation of commitment to each other, that during a common law relationship, people can walk away at any given time. Now, we have some laws in different parts of the country. It varies a little bit if you're living common law for this period of time, then you, in the eyes of the law, are the same as a married couple. And that's from a legal tax perspective primarily. But in terms of emotional bonding and how we build that relationship with each other, there's a whole world of hurt going on out there.